the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We have tonight's guest, founder of Recreation Center and Recreation Cafe, Nick Spano.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guests, KD and Demi Demery. I am Mark Lejeune, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
So I have to say, thanks to both our guest and our performance guests, both of them, I was inspired and thought of my childhood, and it's not something that I think of often, but it's interesting to me that when I'm inspired to think of my childhood, it makes me think that if it's something that I like, then if I have to go all the way back to my childhood in order to remember a time when I got to like that or it felt good or something, then it's probably been a long time since I've gotten to enjoy something like that. And maybe I need to bring it into my life now. Or if it is already in my life, then maybe I haven't solidified it or I haven't incorporated it or something. So they've given me reason to think, and actually they've inspired obviously both our producers and myself. So I trust that you'll be inspired as well. This is what happened. So for example, I knew what our guest was going to be about and what he was doing, what he's working on for many years, but I haven't had the chance to experience it in person yet. And then I went to the website at least to check out what's happening there. And I had this moment of, oh, wait, it's a cafe. There are people eating, but there's somebody playing music, which happens. But over there, there's somebody painting on an easel. And then there are people over there that are doing this. And it looks like those people are playing a game. And it looks like, and I'm thinking, oh, this reminds me of growing up in a family where someone's playing football outside or someone's playing the piano, my mom was sewing or something or cooking, and like we were all doing different things. And so many times, I think maybe even most of the times in my life today, I'm kind of like a monocrop in the sense that if I'm working on this, then I'm going to find the people that I could work on this together. And we're kind of working on this together. And if we're doing that, like even doing music, if I'm doing music, I'm just kind of doing music. And everybody that's in that room or in that house or in that studio is doing music. That's it. So it was cool to be like, wait, there's other stuff going on. There's variety. And that's inspiring. That's creative. So one other thing. So we got shared, thanks to Tess Cacciatore and Alicia Rogers. We got shared this song, My Old Kentucky Home, and I'm like, wait a minute, back to the childhood. Growing up, at least in my day, there were songs about our country and our land and whatever that I don't sing today, but I don't know of a lot of new songs that are written about a land that we love. And I hear this song and I'm like, whoa, this is cool. On top of which, it goes into community and it goes into real people. And I'm all in for this show.
I'm super excited for this show. Not only the performance guests are awesome, but it's a great honor to be able to support and shine a light on what Nick has created and what he's been creating for years. And I don't think community and playing and being together is common sense anymore. It's just not a part of the culture. You go to these festivals and you see kids holding their devices and they're not looking at each other, and people are like, what next? Or they go try to flip a station and try to watch a video. You know, getting back to being able to tap into your own creative or doing it with other people, I think is novel and a trend that needs to be set, and Nick's paving the way.
And so inspired by that, we've titled this episode, Book Your Play Date now at Recreation Cafe. This is our episode 797. And like Mark said, our interview guest has been and is and will be many things. Actor, acting coach, entrepreneur, event producer, community builder, and restaurateur of Recreation Cafe. Welcome, Nick Spano, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey guys, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Nick, I kind of want to start where we ended our chat together earlier. Like, can we be serious here? No.
I hope not. I hope not. I'd rather not be serious.
What's
although,
up with
although
that?
There is a time to be serious, but I think you should be serious about your purpose and your intention. And make sure you don't forget to play while you're doing that.
I'm glad you said that, you know, because in there is a huge distinction between serious and serious, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you're saying focused, you're saying, you know, as opposed to serious, we normally think of as like we're going to hunker down and we're going to even get mad sometimes, which is completely the opposite of something else that we talked about when I said, you know, this whole play thing. And you heard what I said. I went back to my childhood. That means I don't have enough of this in my life right now. Well, the play thing, like even if we do sports and stuff like that, I don't know that that's necessarily play. So let's talk about play.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting we talk about that because I think that for what I'm focused on are adults. I want to create more spaces for adults to play. And in a way that, like you said, we haven't played in a long time, life becomes serious. It becomes very much about, you know, making sure that you are successful financially, making sure that you can provide for a family. And all those things are definitely important. But I think we also lose sight of that life-giving energy that is just the childlike spirit that I think is the source of so much. And when you start off life, I believe that we learn most of what we need to know about the world, about relationships, about how to build relationships, about how to recreate ourselves, about how to fall down and pick ourselves up. We learn all of that through play. I think before we ever even touch a book or go into a classroom, the world is our classroom, and we learn everything we need to know through play. But then as we get older, there's stakes involved. And we forget that this is just a game, and we take our game too seriously. We take our titles too seriously. And even when you were kind of reading off my name and giving me all these titles, I'm the person who's so like, I'm so resistant to any title whatsoever. Cause yes, I may have done those things, but they're just landmarks along the road. Mm. That's all they really are. And, but what I want to do is, not what I want to do, but what I have been focused on and doing for the past 10 years is helping primarily adults reconnect with that flow state through art, through music, through community, and just getting them to play again. And I've had a lot of amazing people that I admire for their role in life and for the things that they've succeeded in. And it's been amazing to see them step into this space and find joy again in a way that they haven't had in a long time and be connected to their devices, and how profound it seems to be to them in that moment when really it's just super simple. It's just going back to the basics, you know. And one last thing I'll share is like an example I give everybody is if you were to give a child a canvas and a bunch of paints, they won't say to you, "I can't paint." They'll just throw all the colors on the canvas and swirl it around and have a great time.
Wow.
But you give that to an adult, and 9 times out of 10, most people will say, "Oh, I can't paint. I don't know how to paint." It doesn't matter. You that's exactly why you should do it. Don't do the things that you think you know how to do. Do the things that you don't know how to do.
It also affects every area of our life, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's part of the reason why we are, you know, most communities in this country are in this state that we're in, where there's so much conflict and diversity and you know, those, we forgot how to play together. And, you know, my world is a very diverse world, and it always has been a diverse world. And I will always seek that and represent that, not because I'm trying to fill a quota, but because that's just what my heart tells me. And when I do the things that I do, it attracts that. And I love it when people come into Recreation Cafe or any of the other kind of like experiences I've created. And they often, there's two things they will often say. One is, wow, there's all types of people here. You know, like there's a lot of different people here. I love that. And the other thing they'll say is, this reminds me of a place back home. So no matter where someone's from, they all feel like this is a place that reminds them of some place they knew back home. And that's a real special thing to be able to accomplish.
You know, I don't know if I've ever thought, talking about children or the inner child within us, if I've ever thought about children and community. Like, we just assume, or I do, maybe because I don't have kids of my own, but I just assume that I had the community I had because of where I grew up or the people my parents knew. But we definitely as kids like to play with specific people or specific other kids. And with some kids, we like to play this. With other kids, we might like to play that. So we had a sense of community.
Yeah, as children?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I it's interesting. I don't know if, I've never really thought about, haven't thought about it in that sense. Like
me neither.
What kind of perspective a young person has on community. I think what I've always admired about young people is they don't define community the way we often define community as adults. And there's something that I'm sure you guys are familiar with. You probably hear it a lot in our circles, is like-minded. And nothing wrong with that. I think the intention is always positive. But I often say that I don't care about like-minded, because like-minded becomes closed-minded. I don't think we have to think alike to be alike.
Wow.
What I care about is like-hearted.
Ooh.
Because like-hearted, we accept the fact that we're all different. We all come from different places. We all have different challenges, but we all ultimately want to connect the same way. And if you leave that open, if you leave room for that, then we all get to learn from each other, and then we could really play together.
Wow.
You know, it's like, so my community is not necessarily like-minded, but we are definitely all like-hearted. And when I say my community, there's no distinction other than anyone who has an open heart that comes into this space. And it always amazes me, man, how many people walk through out of nowhere, and there, you can just feel it. There's this instant connection. And there was this woman who came by this on last Friday. She was driving down the street and she saw the sign. We had, you know, our logo is a big heart logo, and she saw the heart logo and the sign that we just opened. And she stopped, came in at the entrance in the tile on the ground. We have a mosaic that says "Keep Playing." And she's a clinical therapist or psychologist. And she just came from a seminar that was talking about how important play is. And it was just really beautiful how, for whatever reason, in that moment, she found us, she found the space, she came in, she grabbed a drink, and she sat down and painted for 2 hours, and was incredibly moved by the whole thing, and came back the next day. And yeah, it's just you feel this instant sense of, I'm with people that accept me, I'm in a space that is about community, and I'm in a space that is authentic. And sorry to go back to your point. I don't think kids have the same concept of community that we do, but what they do have is there's this openness, this open heart thing. You know, we all just want to be loved. We all just want to be accepted. And so when other kids are, you know, accept you or they're open to you, it doesn't need definition. It's just, you know, they want to play. Let's play together.
Wow. Yeah. It's so interesting. The the profundity of this conversation, and yet it seems like we're talking about play and community, things that we think are obvious, but deep down inside, it is like the basis of humanity.
Yeah, and I think that here in the U.S., it's not as common anymore because every play space has been turned into commerce, and the things that were offered as adults aren't necessarily the things that create positive experiences. So, for example, as adults, if you want to go out, dancing's fantastic. You know, like I think there's some of the principles of play are movement and creativity. Those are the two things that I focus on. So I'm taking a public space that, we have, it's hospitality, there's food and beverage, but that's just to get you through the door. And then everything else is about how can I open your mind up to movement and creativity in a way that you didn't expect to have happen that day. And so dancing is great, but for the most part, we have bars and restaurants. So those are the two things we have as adults in terms of like social engagement. And I don't think it offers a whole lot. Neither of those things activate us in a way that create really positive experiences or better relationships, better connection with people. And so, it's really amazing how something so simple can have such an impact, but it's because there's no spaces for it anymore. We don't create together. And earlier in the intro, you talked about how we should, sharing creativity. Part of what started me down this path was I've always been an artist. I've been lucky enough in life to find success in whatever area I was focused on at that time in my life. And it set me up to kind of keep being this artist, this entrepreneur that's trying to figure out what exactly I want to be in life or how I want to be in life. And about 10 years ago, I made just a major shift. And I had to ask myself, what kind of artist am I? And am I willing to put everything on the line to figure out what that is? Because those are the people that inspired me the most, were the ones that risked everything to be the artist that they wanted to be. And so, I believe that if you're inspired by people or things in life, that's your spirit telling you to go in that direction. And so I committed to going in that direction and I gave up all my money games and I did things that weren't about money. I focused on things that brought me something more important than money and gave me joy and community. And I just threw everything I had at it. I forgot my point now, Filippo. Sorry.
This is a hard thing you're saying though.
yeah. So there was a really good point somewhere inside of all of that.
You know what? Let's take a break. And if the point comes, but it's already been a good point. Yeah. And actually when we come back, if you want to share, there was a quote on the website that inspired you and Recreation Cafe. And then there was a quote that you shared with me on the phone that inspired me and you sent me a picture. So I'd love for, one or both of those to be read when we come back as we'll continue our conversation with Nick Spano and the Recreation Cafe, just as it sounds, recreation.cafe is the website. You could follow them on socials at Recreation Cafe. And actually take a look at the website because there's learning there. I feel like there's a book between the pictures and some of the quotes and some of what they're sharing or what probably Nick is sharing in his team, like how we play is how we learn. And there's some talk on that and principles of play. I seriously, that we need more of this. So thank you, Nick. And we'll get to talk with Nick more. And after our conversation with Nick, we'll have our Ask Dorothy segment. And then we'll be joined by both KD and Demi DeMary of, and you'll get to hear the song that kicked off that part of the monologue that I was sharing at the beginning of the show, and be inspired. And let's create more of this. So with that, we'll be right back here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. We're having a great conversation with our guest, a creator, imaginator, actually builder and carpenter, along with your team. Like, you actually brought out the hammer and the nails. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Nick Spano of Recreation Cafe, or Recreation Cafe. Nick,
it's both the same. It works.
It works.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually the name was inspired by one of the poems you referenced earlier, and the word recreation and recreation are the same thing. And when I came upon that line in the poem, I had to ask myself why those two words were the same thing. Ooh. And that's what kind of started me down the path of exploring play a little bit deeper and realizing that we recreate ourselves through play. And that's one of one of those experiences we have as young people, is we keep doing that. We keep testing our boundaries by role-playing and exploring. And we tend to not do that as much as we get older. And again, that's why I love that idea that we have to keep playing and keep recreating ourselves regardless of our age. Before the break, I was sharing a point that I lost track on, but to bring it back real quickly, as an artist, I wanted to find out what kind of artist I was. And right. On this journey, I've discovered that my art is people and places. That's the kind of artist that I am. And I love it. I couldn't be more in love with that craft. I love building home. I love building spaces. I love bringing people together in spaces. And holding space for people. So it's been just a very heart opening experience to go down this path. But part of what I had to break through was I often did my art just at home by myself. And I think a lot of people do the same thing. And there is a need for that. There is a need for, you know, quiet or focus and no distraction, for sure. But what I really was missing was sharing that energy, sharing that flow experience with other people. And I think musicians and your performers might be able to, you know, speak to this later on. What I love about musicians is that musicians sit around together and jam. They create together. And there's nothing more exciting to me than seeing artists in a room together, not playing their songs or a set play. They're just creating, just flowing, just jamming, just riffing. And it turns into something beautiful. So that kind of like organic space is the one thing I always try to recreate in these public spaces, so that people can experience that and feel that. I've taken what I do in private, or usually that's reserved for you know, your own personal space and try to make that a public space so that people can be a part of that experience together.
Wow. Thank you for bringing that back around. And, you know, people will just have to go to recreation or recreation.cafe and read that poem, that, that quote. But the one that, you know, when I say you literally picked up a hammer, you did more than pick up a hammer, obviously, but you did some things that I've never heard of. So tell us a little bit about what you did, even with the building or before the building was a building.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because even hearing myself talk to you about this, it feels so lofty and serious. And it's really quite simple. Everything is really simple. We make things way more complicated than we have to. And so I have to always remind myself of that along this journey. And there's definitely things that I do that no person would probably want to do in terms of just like the physical labor, but I love that stuff. I love getting consumed by the work, and I love how challenging it can be, but it doesn't mean that it's not play just because it's difficult and challenging. And so along this way, when I found this property and decided to throw everything I had at it to create this space that was really just a vision, not a plan. You know, I tell people all the time that, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know where I'm going because I've never done any of this before. And I've never built a restaurant. I've never run a restaurant. And I certainly hadn't taken on the kind of the building challenges that I was that I had to go through to make this place what it is now. My dad was an architect, and he was the first one to tell me that I'm doing it all wrong. You know, he's like, you need to have your plans first, Nick. You need to have your permits first. And that's just not how I started. I just needed to knock down walls so I could see what I was looking at and start to fill the space. So this was a 7-year journey. From the time that I started construction on Recreation Cafe to the time I finished, it was 7 years. So I started in 2017 and I finished in March of 2024. And there's a lot of reasons why it took that long. COVID didn't help. You know, there's some financial issues, and I'm doing this on my own with my own money. And I had to take a pause to recoup some money to kind of continue the project. But really, I don't regret any of it. I'm so grateful for the whole thing because every step of the way, you know, I would always set a deadline. I would set a goal. I would never meet it. It was never going to work out the way that I thought it would. And in a way, it was just the universe reminding me that my plans don't matter. All that matters is that I remind myself to enjoy the moment where I'm at right now and make it playful. Mm. And so even though you're in the middle of this construction site, with, you know, sewer lines coming in and tearing your roof off to rebuild the roof and tearing walls out because you have to put in shear walls and tearing up the slab because the slab is all busted up and you have to put down a new slab and have to put in a kitchen and a hood and all these things. It's still just a game. It's still just fun and playful. And so I really took advantage of the 7 years to create moments within the space at its various stages to make sure that it still remained play. And one of those things I shared with you was before I closed up the walls, I had to tear all the walls, not entirely down, but almost entirely down. And before I closed the walls up, I invited people out to paint messages and art and whatever they wanted inside the walls. So that when I closed it back up, it became a time capsule for somebody else in the future, 100 years from now, when they decide to tear this place down and, you know, recreate the space again into something new, they're going to see the messages and the story of the people that were here before. And it's all just for fun. So
that's amazing. And you wrote something in particular. Do you mind sharing that?
No, not at all. So my message, for whoever discovers this in the future is, my name is Nick Spano. I built this place out of a dream. It's the first thing I've done that required everything. I hope for you that you find a dream in life that is worth everything. That's it.
That's everything.
Yeah.
So it, Nick, you're making me think of something in a way, or inspiring me to think that on our way to a dream, we are actually living it on some level.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's all a dream. It's all a dream. It's all a dream, man. It's all just a story. And I think, man, the goal is to tell, like, how great of a story can you tell? You know, tell the greatest story you possibly can, but it's literally just a story. And, you know, something that might seem like just play can become, you know, a really powerful and an important story.
So somebody who's quote unquote building a restaurant, let's say, or a cafe, or an eatery or whatever, would probably say, you know, no food, no party, no event until the walls are finished, until the kitchen's up or whatever, but not you. What, you know, one more story of what you did in the process while nothing was there yet.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's so much. I think absolutely. If you're building a restaurant, don't do what I did. and you're most likely not using your own money. It's different when you're using your own money. At that point, you know, do whatever the hell you want to do. But it's, you know, if you're using someone else's money, you have to worry about the ROI. You don't have time to mess around. But yeah, there's so much has gone down in this space. And if you go through the Instagram, you'll see some of the story. A couple of things I did along the way that are really powerful memories that have become a part of the community here. Before I demoed the space, I put out tables with paint and smocks and all these painting materials so that people can come in and paint the walls. So we just invited the neighborhood in. It's about 150 people came through in that day and just painted every wall in the space. Wow. And it was such a cool experience and such a great memory of what the space was and what it was about to become. And then we tore it all down. And another example that, you know, nothing is permanent. Nothing lasts. Art is created to let go of it, not to hang on to it. Another experience is there's a gentleman in the community known as the Crenshaw Cowboy. He was previously homeless, no longer. He now has an apartment, but he was living on Crenshaw Boulevard and the 10 freeway for 27 years. And he would always make these amazing art pieces out of trash and put these signs up that were really positive and talk about the creative mind. And so I bonded with him and I invited him to live in the building before I demoed it, under one condition, that he would turn the space into an art show so that we could bring people in and get to know him and connect with him as an artist, not as the guy on the street corner.
Wow.
And so that was a really moving experience. And we raised $1,800 for him that night through the art show. He continues to be a part of the space today. I did a mural in his honor. It's on the side of the building now. And we have a menu item named after the Crenshaw Cowboy. And we sell shirts that have his art featured on it. And all the money goes to him as well. So, you know, these are all things that you would miss if you were just trying to get to the end of something. If you were just trying to complete the job because it was more important to make money as soon as possible, you miss out on so much that is just kind of lying and waiting for you along the, you know, and through the process. And so I think it's an artist's job to explore that and always be open to those unexpected challenges and hurdles along the way so that you can be the one to explore them and bring them to light for people.
Wow, Nick, your stories are great, and to create fun or to create experiences and memorable moments along the way to a space that is intended for that. So that even through the hard stuff, and there's always hard stuff, and so many times we so many of us say, I'll wait until, and then we'll have fun. And that's not you, and that's not the intention here. So now that this, so this has only been 2 months, aren't
you? No, not even 2 months. We're at day 23.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Day 23 after 7 years of building and a total of 10 years since I kind of started down this path. Yeah. So it's been amazing because all along this journey, I've had a lot of private events, but in my heart, I just kept waiting for this moment to see what happens when you do something like this for in a public space where anyone can walk in and be a part of it. And I get to just sit back and kind of be in awe at what happens. It's really wild. It really is. It's something so simple and yet so special to see happen. So, yeah.
Wow. To have you come on at this point and to share with us, this is really exciting. It's going to be really exciting when a few years down the line, when there are these recreation or recreation cafes popping up all over the world, to have a conversation at that point as well. You know, having said that, I know and people know you've been in the public eye since you were a kid. You've given a lot of interviews. You don't do this at all or much at this moment. And so I'm honored, we're honored that you came on to share, especially when you're in the midst of all of this. And I know your dog was going through something. I mean, like, sheesh.
Yeah, it was a lot.
So much stuff. And you came on to share with us in this way. Well, if that's not encouragement to go and support and experience and feel for yourself and create memories for yourself, Recreation or Recreation Cafe or recreation.cafe, find them on the socials, go to their website. And one last thing, I said, you know, not everybody is going to be near LA, although they can travel here potentially, but like, what could they do right now? And did the hop, can you share the tape example?
Yeah. Well, I'll share two things. First of all, it's really hard for any one of us to change the world, but we can definitely start by changing our block. We can start by changing the corner. And that's all I'm focused on. I'm not worried about what comes next or how many locations we're going to open. All I want to do is impact the people right around me. And we all can do that. And it doesn't take much. So in terms of play, the example you're talking about is I put this hopscotch on the sidewalk made it out of tape, and it's not your normal hopscotch. It goes on for a real long time. And just to watch people walking down the street, stop and start doing the hopscotch, people of all ages, it's really amazing at how simple it really can be just to touch people and impact their day and bring a smile to their face and get them moving. So, change doesn't have to be difficult. We just have to start at our home. We have to start on our street. We have to start on our corner. So you'll find us on the corner.
Yeah, on the corner of what?
West Washington Boulevard and West Boulevard. Right on the corner. You can't miss it.
In Los Angeles. You certainly can't. It's a beautiful, what you've done with this beautiful.
Thank you.
And so a big thank you to you, Nick. And again, Recreation Cafe on the socials and recreation.cafe. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Filippo. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Patty, and I am experiencing more and more stress every day. I find myself taking naps many times during the day when I'm not working, and I am smoking more than ever before during the workday. You always appear to not only be happy, and yet you don't appear to let stress take over when it's affecting those around you. How do you stay calm and peaceful in today's turbulent world?
Dear Patty, thanks for this timely question. For the first 65 years of my life, I chose stress and took many naps to escape. I thank God for my guides reminding me that as the divine child of God, I am the power in my world, and that I can always choose joy, peace, happiness, and love as my predominant states of mind, instead of stressing out or napping to escape the stress. There are so many helpful articles online showing several simple and easy ways to change our focus. One of the best ones I have found and have used for a long time can be found at calorienut.com by Don, and it is very helpful and easy to do, and I'm happy to share the steps to quick stress relief through mindful breathing. I use this simple technique to calm my mind and body instantly and look forward to hearing how you feel once you do this. So the first step is find a comfortable spot and sit or stand comfortably. Close your eyes as this helps you focus inward. Deep breaths. Inhale through your nose for 4 counts. Hold for 4 and exhale through your mouth for 6 counts. Do this for at least 5 breaths. Don says it works because it reduces cortisol, and this lowers stress hormone levels, increases oxygen flow to your brain and muscles, activates calmness as this engages your body's relaxation response. All I know is it does work. So, Patty, please try this mindful breathing next time you feel overwhelmed, and let me know if you too feel the instant calm that occurs for me when I practice this.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guests, KD and Demi DeMari, here on the Life Changes Show when we come back, online edition.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and 4 legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and our performance guests are rap artist KD and singer-songwriter Demi DeMari. Welcome to both of you to the show.
Hey, Filippo. Happy to be here.
Hey, man. How you doing?
You know, I was great, but I'm greater now after that conversation and the conversation we're going to have. I mean, how well is this dovetailing? This is what you guys were telling me on earlier.
You know, I do think it's similar. You know, like, shout out to Nick, by the way, when he said lighthearted, not like-minded.
Nice, right?
I think that is like that's hook song material.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, and obviously, like, you know, that guy has a lot going on. His mind's in the right place.
Inspirational. Yeah, definitely inspirational.
Yeah.
Well, that's what. Go on. Sorry.
No, I was just saying his heart's in the right place, for sure. You know, so he's taking on a whole lot though. You know, so best of luck to him in those ventures, because it seems like he's got his hand in a whole lot of things. You know, so.
Well, and that's what I was, you know, we were talking about this, our producers and I, what we were feeling in what you guys were bringing forward in the songs that we're going to share today. It's like, well, these guys are real. And there is no way that anybody's had an easy life. And knowing a little bit about the two of you, it's like, you know, and to put out songs that are positive, it's like, okay, you've got something going on. What is it? You know, and thank you for putting it out there. So let's just go dive right in. My Old Kentucky Home, where did this come about?
Oh man, basically, well, the start of it, I was in Atlanta, just hanging out down there with one of my friends at the studio. We were just talking about, one of my friends from Nappy Roots, his name is Scales, from the group called Nappy Roots. We were just talking about doing something to kind of just bring people together, bring the community together. And then I thought of the Villbillies, and Demi, he was with a group called the Villbillies that was pretty popping around that time in our region. And we just kind of collabed, man. We just wanted to do something that was about unity, bringing people together. Like in Kentucky, and I'm sure like a lot of other places, like it's a lot of divide, you know. It's like you actually might have like what might be considered a black part of town. You actually might have something that might be considered a white part of town. You might have a black clubs. You might have white clubs. You might have Latino clubs. So even though things are segregated and everybody has their own religions, beliefs, the way they grew up, we just wanted to show that we're not as different as people think we are, that if you don't fall into that hype of that it's got to be different or you have to feel a certain type of way about a different type of race or demographic, if you understand and take the time to, you know, get with them, you'll realize that, man, you all got a lot in common. It's all about just, you know, trying to live life, take care of your family, good health, you know. So we just wanted to show that it can be done. You can intertwine it all races, all ages, all colors, and enjoy life together and enjoy good times together. So that's what it's mainly about, man. That's just what we wanted to do. Just like bridge the gap, just bring like a lot of peace and unity in times where it's just like a lot of division.
Nice. Well, you've certainly done that. And I do want to let people know that the videos out now, and we've got it posted actually on the webpage for KD and Demi, so you could check it out there. But it's on YouTube, it's playing all over, and we'll talk more about it. But I have to say, so KD, the way I heard the story is exactly like you just said, and I also heard this piece, and you can fill in and tell me, but something about you call up Demi and said, I want to do this. And then you start driving from Atlanta.
So I was in Atlanta at the time, because the idea just came to me. So I had just heard this track. And when I heard the track, I knew I wanted to do something with Nappy Roots, but it just needed something else to really bring it together. And I literally looked at the demographic of the fact that Demi was in a big, huge group, you know, with mainly all white guys. You know, me, I was kind of known just from kind of being a hustler in the streets, putting out music with like Juvenile and Snoop Dogg, E-40, just different other artists and stuff. So a way to just kind of bring it all together, to just show all different walks of life and all different cultures, and let it be known that we can blend and make great music, I just instantly thought of the Villbillies. I had never met Demi at that time. We never had talked, never had met him or anything. But I heard of him. He heard of me. I got his number. I literally called him while I was in Atlanta. He said, yeah, it's cool. I'm with it. So I left Atlanta right then, drove straight, picked him up in Louisville, then turned right around and drove straight back. So he had never been to Atlanta. So he's thinking like maybe it's about an hour away. He didn't know. Now it's 6 hours. Like, so I just picked him and this guy named Will up, his homie. We drove 6 hours back to Atlanta, went to my friend Goodfella. He was signed with like Static Major at that time. If you don't know who Static Major, he wrote on that song Lollipop with Lil Wayne. So he was signed with Static Major. So he was a guy on the song as well. So we literally went to his house, man, and sat there, played the music, and just everybody wrote their part, went to the studio, and then we read the, like, literally, we didn't even have it memorized, like, what we wrote, nothing. So we literally, what you heard when we first did it the first time was literally what we was reading off the paper that we wrote. We literally wrote it and then went straight to the studio, recorded. And the way we knew it was a hit, because 6 hours later, the whole ride right back to Louisville, we literally basically didn't play anything else. We just played it over and over and over again. And man, we done all done a lot of songs. Like, yeah, you're not like some songs you're gonna like, some songs you're gonna not like, some songs you're gonna just kind of know instantly. Like, man, this is a real positive, great song. It's just the feeling that it gives you, you know, the feeling of happiness and just positivity.
But you, that's such a great story, and you all lived it. Like, you just calling up a guy you don't know, and the guys and Demi saying, yeah, sure, and you going to pick him up, and then the three of you driving back. I mean, brilliant. And then driving back again. Okay, so now what I don't think you've mentioned just before we play the song is this is the second version, because the story you're telling happened when?
Yeah, so that happened 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Yeah, so this is the 20th anniversary. So we remade the song, not a remix, but a remade it. We remade it. So the first time was just a guy in Germany, literally. The guy who made the track, he just made the track in Germany. And we had got that beat, that production, and then that's what we recorded it on. This version has all live instruments. So it's remade so much better. On the last version, Demi only had like a chorus. He did the chorus. This time he does the chorus and he has a verse. And literally every single sound you hear was a different session of somebody coming and playing that. So when you do see the video, the guy in there playing the harmonica, that's really the guy playing the harmonica on the song. Nice. The guys that are on the guitars, that's really the guys that's on the guitars. The drummer, you show a picture of the guy who did the drums. Like every sound is a live sound. Like,
nice. So, yeah, and everybody having fun on the video. Is everybody having fun on the video?
Oh, man, it's just so much fun. And then you'll see this. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And what we're trying to show is not, we're not saying that's the norm of how it is in Kentucky, but we're showing that that is what it can be. It's literally just wholesome fun with black, white, Latino, old, young. Man, it's just enjoying life, having fun.
Hey, KD. KD, you there?
Yeah, I'm on here. Go ahead,
Demi. Now, I'm going to chime in on this real quick because, you know, what I just, well, not just realized, a long time ago, but I was just thinking about it. And it's like, you know, you reached out to me. You wanted to collaborate on this music thing, collaboration of people, collaboration of sound. That's super amazing. But it was also a situation where I was like, you know, the more we worked with each other, I think we realized that we kind of came from similar backgrounds, regardless of all that other stuff that we're trying to separate and show people how, you know, equal we actually are. You know, so, right. You know, and see that to me, that's what was so dope. Like, you know, I come from my own shit too. So it's, you know, it wasn't just like, you know, a KD reaches out to me, you know, see if I'm cool, we'll collaborate kind of thing. I'm also on the other hand, you know, in my own world and doing my own thing and been through, you know, my own stuff and thinking about, well, is he cool? But the only way to find something out like that is to collaborate through music. And that's what we found, you know, 20 years ago. Now, now when you look at it,
yeah,
20 years of friendship. For each other at this point.
Yeah, now we like brothers.
Real talk. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why we're able to do this.
So that's why we pass. It's the only way artists like me and KD know how to pass it forward. You know, other than just holding the door for the next person or, you know, trying to be there for your family and your friends, whatever. This is our voice, you know, and our relationship, you know, became our voice. And I think that would be that's how I like to look at it anyway.
You know, I think people just heard the makings of the song. Like it's real. It's real.
And no, it's just, definitely real.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's real organic. Yeah, it's real organic. Yeah.
So here is the pre-recorded song, the one that's playing on the radio right now, My Old Kentucky Home with KD and Demi Demarie and Be Still, right?
And yeah,
right. Yeah, from Nappy Roots.
From Nappy Roots. So here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right now. And there it is, my old Kentucky home. Good job, you guys. KD and Demi Damari and Be Still, featuring Be Still. So that's awesome. You know what? Go to the website page for Life Changes for KD and Demi, and there you'll find lots of links. But just KD is KD and Demi, D-E-M-I, D-E-M-A-R-E-E. You could find them. They're all over where music is available, Facebook and Spotify and Bandcamp and all that. So by all means, check them out. We're going to get to hear more from them, but I have a feeling, is there any more you all want to say about that? Because it's stellar.
Man, thank you, man. Appreciate it, man.
It's such a good feeling. So I've had the pleasure of being in Kentucky once for sure, but I think twice, but once was recently. And I think it's funny because when people that have never traveled outside of certain parts of the world, and I said, I just got back from Kentucky, and they're like, oh, what's it like? Oh, I loved it. And I did. I loved it. And so I remember telling that to somebody who was from Kentucky, and they said, don't be telling people that. We don't want them there if they don't get it.
You got to make sure you come back for the Derby one year. The Kentucky Derby. That's a bucket list type of thing. You got to at least do it once.
Well, there's so much, actually. There's more than just the Derby. Yeah, there's a lot. So I'll be back. I'll be back. And so, all right. Yeah. And to the point of what we were talking about before, it's not that, you know, life has been great and we're all partying all the time in the sun, like in the video, which is fun and great. There's stuff. And Demi, you were telling me some stuff that just like, man. And then I'm trying to put the two together, like he's singing about good life. And yet in good life, there's stuff.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can't really see the light for real without going through the dark. Mm. And you definitely can't appreciate it. Mm. And everybody has their own story, you know, like, you know, I could think my life was rough, you know, but compared to somebody else, my life was, you know, cake, you know, but it vice versa, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But okay. So let's talk about, definitely not cake. So at 21, what?
Stage 4 lymphoma.
Stage 4.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, you know, to make it easy, I guess I could say I was just, at that point in time, I was an only child. I had two half sisters. My mom and dad were, you know, alcoholics and split up, yada, yada, yada. And we're going through all this, and I started a band called Plan a Man. Ended up a few years later getting into Villbillies, but right at that exact time, I was actually, I think it was 3 days before my 21st birthday, I found out I had stage 4 lymphoma. And that, I mean, that, you know, that's a game changer right there. So I was laid up in the hospital and all that. And, you know, I'd been going through a lot. It wasn't all, you know, cupcakes and ice cream at that time. It was pretty bad, actually. And ended up going through a whole lot of stuff. And got cancer, and you know, one of the lowest points I've ever been in my life. But through that, I did realize that, you know, it was the first time I understood what something called empathy was. And you know, that's when you actually care about the people around you. You know, my family that I wasn't close with at the time, a lot of friends that I were at the time, and it's kind of like, you know, you see them in pain and you realize, oh shit, like I'm not worried about myself, but I'm worried about the way they feel, you know. And it was a change of consciousness, basically. It was a it's the worst thing and the best thing that ever happened to me.
Wow.
You know, wow. And that shaped me as a person, but it's also a double-edged sword because, you know, with that is, you know, you would think if you had like a, you know, seriously ill cancer type of a thing, that, you know, you would be like, you know what, I'm never going to smoke again. I'm never going to drink again. I'm never going to eat bad again. I'm, you know, I'm just eating grass and, you know, you're doing Pilates or whatever, you know, but that's not the case, you know, because you feel like it might be your last day. You never know when it's going to come back.
Yeah, basically what he's saying is he definitely partied like a rock star.
Yeah, I did that.
He definitely KD. Did.
Yeah, sorry. You know, you get me on my story, man. We're going on a ride, dude. This is Lord of the Rings, baby. Like, we, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely done seen him living life.
Yeah.
KD's telling it. Well, you know, well, first thing, you know, you were saying your parents were alcoholics and I don't know their story, and but you did share one particular, and so it makes me think, you know, who knows what veterans went through, but the veterans, you know what I mean? So, right. You know, so so God bless him. And I know he's no longer with us, but actually that's part of what I think you were going to say is that, you know, also there was, which is crazy because you've just been through this and you've been blessed or you live and yet you feel guilty. And why were you feeling guilty?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a common thing. It's, you know, it's survivor's guilt is what they call it. You know, see, my sister and my dad, you know, died from colon cancer. So, you know, and they're older than me, obviously, but, you know, at the same time, it's just like, you know, you beat something, you see people around you not, and, you know, what's the explanation for that? You know,
and you're partying like a rock star and you're still alive.
Well, but I feel like they would too.
Wow.
And maybe they did, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah, you work hard, you play hard, right?
And you wrote a song about it. And it's that's a great song.
Like, here go.
All right. So should we just hit it?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Well, here is Demi. Am I pronouncing your last name right this whole time?
Almost.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Demi DeMarie.
DeMarie. Okay. So here's Demi DeMarie's Good Life, pre-recorded, playing it here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition.
Hey, yo, I know I've had my fair share of hard times in this life, and I'm pretty sure you have too, so let's change that. Check it. I've been around since the 80s and wasn't always cool, especially with the ladies. I was a damn fool. Dad was an alcoholic. Mama, she had to leave him. Grew up around the fighting, the fussing, cussing, and cheating. That's when I started breaking all of the rules, selling drugs and robbing people. I was kicked out of school. I was a bad kid, bad kid. Tearing shit up, sleeping on couches with 40 bottles and cigarette butts. Years go by and I got sick. Stage 4 lymphoma, how'd I get this shit? Lucky to be alive, so I changed my ways. I'm on that good life tip today. I'm looking for the good life, good life. Sitting on top of the world, I wanna be shining like diamonds and pearls. I'm wanting you to go there with me, girl. I'm looking for the good life, good life. Life, so what should I do? Roll up a cup of Phillies, drink a couple of brews. Of course I wanna celebrate, I'm only 22. And tomorrow's never promised, tell me what would you do? We got the band back together, started rocking the clubs. It was nothing but love, record label signed us up. I'm talking cloud nine, we made the front page. And I remember that shit like it was yesterday. But what goes up must come down. The label let us go, what do we do now? You gotta take the bad with the good, right? Not everybody gets a moment in the spotlight. Not everybody gets a taste of the good life. But if I had it my way, we'd live it every night. I guess the moral of the story is to never give in. And if you fail, then you try again. I'm looking for the good life, good life. Sitting on top of the world, I wanna be shining like diamonds and pearls. I'm wanting you to go there with me, girl. I'm looking for the good life, good life. La da da da, good life, sitting by the fire. La da day, good life, feeling that breeze.
a lot, da da da. Good life, taking you higher. A lot, da dee. Good life, come with me. Got my lady and I got my shine. Money in my pocket and we're feeling fine. Radio's loud and we're playing Sublime. I think it's gonna be a good day, my oh my. Believe I made it this far, it's a miracle. Floating in the clouds now, used to be miserable. Never looking back since I changed my ways. I'm on that good life tip today. I'm looking for the good life, good life. Sitting on top of the world, I wanna be shining like diamonds and pearls. I'm wanting you to go there with me, girl. I'm looking for the good life, good life. Sitting by the fire, a lot that day. Good life, feeling that breeze. A lot that, that, good life, taking you higher. A lot that day, good life,
good life. Good song, Demi Demari.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So check him out where his music. Can I mention your other name, by the way?
Yeah, you can. It's a little complicated. It was an AKA kind of a thing. It was given to me by my friends and people in my band, alias, if you will. It's called Ipcus Pinecone. I-P-C-U-S Pinecone. Like the ones you find in the trees that fall. Yeah. So-
people might find some of your music under that, and some people might find you under the, is it Villbillies?
Yeah, Villbillies, V-I-L-L-E-B-I-L-L-I-E-S. But really, the best way to find all of it, of anything that I do, really, would just be to go to my name, D-E-M-I-D-E-M-A-R-E-E, at YouTube.com.
Because you're the only one.
Well, you know, maybe we don't know. It's hard to say. I haven't been everywhere. So, you know, maybe I got a doppelganger of five. Who knows?
Thank you. And KD, you have been, like, the two of you have done so much. And one of the things that I think is great about musicians, and probably one of the reasons why you felt like doing a song like the My Old Kentucky Home is, like, you're entertaining people. Like, you see them happy, you see them moved by what you do, and it's it from one city to the next, from one country to the next. Am I right, KD?
Right. Yeah, man, it's definitely like energy, you know what I'm saying, and a vibe. But man, I'm gonna say, man, Demi, he's a rock star, man. That song, that's just one of many, man. Like, and that's just part of what made us like. So what we planning on doing, what we're in the works of trying to accomplish, is a project that's gonna be a KD and Demi project. You know, so nice. We've done songs together in the past, and like I said, and like he tell you, like we hang out or just, you know, talk and kick it more than we do as far as about the music, you know, just because we literally grown a true friendship. You know, we might yell, fuss, cuss each other out, get drunk together, hug, you know, like we really are like family now, like, you know what I'm saying? So we like, what better way to just do a like project, to try to do a like project together, to give the people more of that sound, you know, that we have when we come together, and kind of that unity, that
energy that you have together.
Yeah,
energy. And that we're hearing it, we're feeling it. Now we're going to get to hear one of your songs. This is a collaboration too, right?
Right. This is just a song I did back, you know, it's a few years back. It's several years old, man. Cause I had really gave music up for a while, man, just to be a full-time dad, man. So, like, you know,
wow.
Growing up, yeah, I just always wish I, you know, had a full-time dad there, man. And, wow. You know, when I had my first kid, I wasn't really a good father, man, because I didn't have nobody, wasn't no handbook on how to be a good father. So I had to learn how to be a good father, man. And so, you know, when I had my son, man, I just kind of gave it all up. I couldn't see myself really still traveling, doing this and doing that, and not really being here for him, man. So I'm like one of them parents. Like, I coach the team. I'm in all the games and take them to school, pick them up, and you know, do all that, man. Wow. So I stopped doing music for like 10 years, you know, or something, you know, crazy. And this is the first thing that I have done, you know, this is the first thing that made me get back into doing music. It just felt right. Like the timing was right. The energy was right as far as the Mock Kentucky Home. But yeah, so this song you about to hear is with Snoop Dogg and with E-40, you know, and like I said, E-40, he's California Baytown legend, you know. Actually, I could say somebody I grew up as a fan, but now became a friend. And then Snoop Dogg, like I said, rest in peace to his brother Bean. Like, he's the one that introduced me to Snoop Dogg, to where I was able to even get a feature from Snoop Dogg or even be in the same room with Snoop Dogg. Like I said, his brother just passed just recently. He's a real good dude, man. So, you know, shout out to Bean.
Wow. Wow. You two are really good dudes. Wow. I'm taken by this. I feel like I could talk to the two of you all night, but we got to go. But before we go, we got to hear this song. This is called Go Ham. I didn't get a chance to chat with you about this song beforehand. What's it about, or do I want to know?
Man, it's just about going ham, man. Just partying, man. E-40, me.
Oh, I thought so.
Yeah, just a party, you know. Just go, you know, go ham, man.
All right, well, here it is. This is KD and Go Ham, also with Snoop Dogg and E-40 on the Life Changer Show, pre-recorded online.
Big Snoop,
KD,
4-0 and KD,
that boy E-40,
oh yeah,
that would be me,
yeah,
with Louisville,
what it do,
and when I come out here, every time we get together, then we have a grande day, man.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Do a gigantic in Tyrannosaurus Rex style, man. Hello! I don't f*** with no suckers. I only f*** with pimps and pliers. Real not no couch potato hustlers. I don't associate with busters and triers. I'm a fixture, I'm a factor, I'm a boss. I tell a broke bro to get lost. Fill my pockets up with scratch. I'm getting money out of. I'm on my smartphone, I don't need no computer to post my prosty. Send that with my Sprint 4G Eva. We in a party doing it hella ginormous at my table. Standing on the couch, talking hella loud. The center of attention, looking down at the crowd like I'm that dude. I got my neighborhood with me, man. You don't want a feud.
We be going ham. We gon' get retarded. Let's get the party started. Cause we the party starter.
Up to par, hit you up real hard, bodyguard, tell me when the party start, so I can plug it in and begin, break down another zip on the hip, get a little cute to twist this, baby say dog, I wanna be your mistress, is that right, well let me give you the rules, put you through school, first off adjust your attitude, let's say we play these ladies, me and my nephew Louisville KD on a mission, don't f*** with me baby, blowing hella chronic, you know we stay way G, LB says me, that's my city, I got f*** with dog paws on the
baby.
get retarded. Let's get the party started. Cause we the party starters. Money in my duffel bag, and I came to throw it. Money's in my pocket, and we came to blow it.
Go ham,
ham.
I got money to throw.
Go ham, ham.
If you're really getting dough,
go ham, ham.
Then you got honeys to blow.
Go ham, ham.
Real on the floor.
Go ham, ham.
If you got money to throw,
go ham, ham.
Real getting dough.
Go ham, ham.
If you got honeys to blow,
go ham, ham.
And there it is, Go Ham and KD. KD, where can people find you?
Well, man, on my social media, is going to be under KD Bluegrass ENT, like Bluegrass Entertainment. So just KD Bluegrass ENT. KD Bluegrass ENT.
Nice. We'll get that link up on the website. And but I'm so looking forward to the collaboration that you're talking about, and I'm looking forward to more music and revisiting this conversation and what good has happened since we last talked.
Yeah, but man, we appreciate you having us, man. We appreciate you having us.
Appreciate you, and all the best with that song and everything that you all are doing. KD and Demi DeMarie.
Yeah.
You got it right. You got it right, man.
Hey, we all appreciate right, well, you, Filippo.
Appreciate you too. Maybe we'll see you in Kentucky someday.
Yeah, absolutely. Come out. Come hang out.
All right.
Ever in this area, let us know.
All right. You guys take care. And with a big thank you to both KD and Demi, and another big thank you to Nick Spano. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.